And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing better than your connection, that's for sure.
I know. I don't know what's happening. The phone company's going to be here tomorrow. The internet's been going up and down. The CarMax is going in and out. I don't know what's happening. And I don't want to sound negative, but it sounds like there's a lot of problems with the service industry in America anymore. And I think it's just a shadow of things to come. I really do.
Well, you know, that's probably everything is a little overused and... You know, just like our utilities, you know, it gets hot and all of a sudden we're being told not to use our utilities between this time and that time to avoid. So, yeah, our infrastructure is certainly at a place in time that could easily give up on us. But
yeah, we got a lot to talk about a little bit, too, about the infrastructure, some of the infrastructure, but not about the prices on produce and different things. We have a local produce stand I spent some time with this afternoon asking, you're talking to them, and there's a lot of things changing, Melody. The supply chain really is slowing down. They can't even find drivers to deliver their products, and the prices are really going up fast.
They are. Gold went up, maybe not fast, but it went up $6 today in the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,803. Silver.
All right.
Yeah, silver was up most of the day. We had a high of $26.50. Now we're back to $26.19, but still over $26. Platinum was down $8 at $1,089. Palladium was up $66, $2,946. The USDX today is stronger by 0.09 at 92.64. And we have... We have crude oil down $1.33 at $72.04. And the paper markets today, well, the S&P rises to a new record. It was the big tech stocks that gained. The S&P was up 14 points at 4,358. Dow Jones was up 104 points at 34,681. The NASDAQ was up 1. At 14,665. Taking a look at Europe, everything was up. The biggest gainer was Germany. That was up 1.17%. Asia, it was mixed. And let's see. And that, oh, let's go see what the 10-year did. 10-year yield, 1.318. So 1.31. That was down 0.05, so that continues to drop. Dollar getting stronger, and let's see, Butch. I don't know. There's just so many odd things going on. It's even hard to talk about some of them sometime. And, you know, there was this big push from this administration to raise taxes on corporations and the wealthy. Well, that all is all kind of losing a little bit of steam, a little bit of momentum. They're saying that the fight's not quite over yet, because there's still some proponents, that they, you know, want to try and get, but, it doesn't look like their goal to tax, corporations and the wealthy. And that could be, Butch, because of backing that global minimum corporate tax rate.
It could. Absolutely. It could.
Yeah. They don't want to do both.
You know, I was thinking while you were giving reports there on the markets and all the other information, there was a time when all these figures kind of fit together, but there's no rhyme or reason to them any longer.
No, there isn't.
You know, they're not reacting like they used to a few years ago. It's just a whole different scenario of what makes them go up and down, and sometimes they go down for nothing and up for nothing. It's just insane.
Well, that's because a lot of it's computer trading, the algorithms, you know, it's taken the So again, it's just something that people's hard-earned money is based on, not reality.
That's true.
So, you know, and that's what everyone is getting used to. But eventually that reality will even affect the algorithms. Just like we saw a year ago, there was no bottom. I mean, it was hard. It was hard for them to find a bottom. And so, but it's, again, we truly are. I think it was Musk who was talking about how we're really living in an alternative reality. Because things just aren't real anymore. And this, and he's right. And he's right. It's just like it used to be the corporate, the Dow Jones. It was based on your company's performance, not stock buybacks. You know, it wasn't, you know, it's not by, you know, shorting the markets, not by the algorithms and computers. And I mean, it was reality. It was what was really happening at that point in time. And you didn't have the volatility then. Not as often, I wouldn't think. But you didn't have the Dow at, you know, 34,000 either.
That's true.
So, but again, it's all based on no reality. And we've come to accept living in that world where nothing is real. There's no foundation. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like, unfortunately, I don't like to use this as the example, but it came to mind, the condominium in Florida. That foundation was wiped away, so we think, by all that salt water and everything, and it has no foundation. It's not reality, and look what happened.
Yes.
And it's kind of like our country.
The foundations have been cracking for several years, and no one, well, I'm sure somebody saw it, but no one was worried about it or reported it. Same thing happened here. We keep pretending there's nothing wrong. You know, they don't want us to know the foundations are cracked.
Yeah, it's not a reality.
No, that's it.
So.
Just pretend like it isn't happening.
Yeah. Or you change it, that it's something else. But it isn't. You know, the fundamentals matter.
Kind of like the old TV show, The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Are we actually in a TV show?
You never know. It kind of seems like sometimes. There's nothing steady. There's nothing dependable any longer like it used to be. As a whole in the nation, in a lot of different ways, but financially for sure. I mean, for how many years now have we been running on a totally fiat currency since 1964 at least, and not run on any kind of gold standard since 1971? They took it off the gold standard for, you know. So we've been running on man's whims. Oil, you know, the petrodollar, and it's about gone now. There's nothing left to base the foundation on. And it's starting to wobble. I mean, Russia's dumping all the dollars they can. Nobody wants them. They're not worth anything any longer in the world trade as a whole. It's starting to diminish. I mean, it's still the world currency. But it's starting to go away. People are losing confidence in it. So we've been playing this game for a lot of years. This isn't anything new. And credit due, credit given or credit's due, they've done a very good job of keeping a lot of things covered up. But they can't do it forever. It's impossible. I mean, starting this month, I think the child welfare checks go into place. Do they not? Where there's so much money given per month per child?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That goes in this month, I think. And
that goes in this
and
month.
How long is that supposed to last?
I think till the end of the year.
So everyone gets is $1,000 per child, I'm thinking. I read it, but I don't remember. $1,000 per household per child. So each family has four children, gets $4,000 a month. Is that the way it works?
I thought it was $300.
$300. Okay, maybe it's $1,000 or so. Yeah, okay. I don't remember the exact figures. But either way, I mean, what's it coming out of? What's supporting that? What's backing that? What's the value that's keeping that $300 worth something? You follow what I'm saying?
I'm not.
Well, I mean, what's a $300 going to get per child? What's that $300 based on? Is it based on silver, gold, What kind of foundation is that dollar on? Just air? I mean,
paper.
They're getting $300 printed, given to them, which will cause more inflation, which means the dollar is going to be worth less. So all this is just undermining what's left of the rest of the country's finances. With every dollar printed, our finances are getting weaker. Now that's a pretty fair statement, I believe, don't you?
I do. Uh-huh.
You know, so we keep printing trillions of dollars, and they don't even mention the budget. No one running for office says we got to get the budget under control. Nobody mentions the budget. Nobody. All they might say, well, we can't afford $4 trillion infrastructure. We'll just do $1.5 trillion, whatever. But no one mentions the fact that every time we print money, as far as politicians go, no one's saying, hey, we're going further in the hole every time we print money. No one's saying that any longer. Yeah. They want to feed the infrastructure. They want to feed the people, keep everybody happy. So we're losing ground with every dollar printed, and we have been for a long time, but people don't seem to get the idea.
They don't seem to
get the idea at all. I stopped by today to get up to a little place we call a Go-Mart, gasoline, fast, you know, just a little service center. I look at the price of windshield washer fluid. In the summertime, you know, it used to be cheaper. I mean, you know, nobody used that much. It's $3.79 for a gallon of windshield washer fluid. It wasn't that many years ago you could buy it on sale for 59 cents a gallon. Now, that's an increase of 400 or 500% just on windshield washer fluid. Simply because the dollars, it's losing value every year. It didn't happen overnight. That took, well, let's say, 15, 20 years to get that high. But that still means it takes $4 to buy what less than a dollar bought that many years ago. So people have to stop and look at these things and consider this is because we're printing money. That's not backed by anything. It's called inflation, and inflation is a tax. And government loves tax inflation because they pay up the debt with money worth less than what it was before. Mm-hmm. So this is working out very well for the wealthy and the government. Well, I mean, that's the whole point of it, right?
That's true. Yes.
That's my analysis for the day. I guess I'm done.
All righty. We have 6 more minutes of this segment.
Okay. All right. But I just want to say that. And now we have Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen said, thanks to low inflation is a good thing. And I'm reading this, I'll read part of it here. I think it's kind of important that they actually think the inflation is a good thing. And again, it is for government. And that's the article mentioned that, by the way. But Trade Secretary Janet Yellen has conceded that we may well get more inflation than originally expected with all the government stimulus. But she said, if we do end up with higher inflation and higher interest rates, it's a good thing. It'll be good for society, and it will be good for the Federal Reserve. Now, that last part's true. It will be good for them. Now, again, this is a comment from Peter Schiff. Now, this is what he said. Yellen said inflation will eventually necessitate higher interest rates. If we ended up with a slightly higher interest rate environment, it would actually be a plus for society's point of view and the Fed's point of view. So Schiff said, instead of basically just saying we're not going to have any inflation, or saying inflation is transitory, now she's saying, okay, we're going to have inflation. But it's good. It's a good thing. We want to say that inflation really is a tax on Americans, and he asked the operative question, how is an even bigger increase in the cost of living good for society? Does she mean by society, the high society, like the super rich? Is that who's going to benefit because high society is loaded up with assets? There's a lot of debt on those assets. Is that what she means, high society? But if she means all the people, like the middle class and the working poor, a lot of people who voted for Biden, if by society she means a common man, who's she kidding? How's a bigger increase in inflation good for a common man? It isn't. Of course, there are some winners in an inflationary environment, big debtors, including the U.S. government. They win. But, Melody, the common person, you and I, middle-class families and poor families, don't benefit by inflation. We don't do it. As I said on yesterday's program, or Monday's program, if inflation goes up 5% a year, 3% a year, or 10% a year, unless your income matches that increase, you're losing ground, aren't you?
Well, you are. And I mean, you hit it on the head. You know, it's all these politicians who are always crying about the poor, who's always crying about how hard it is for a certain group of people to get by. And, oh, they have it so bad. They have it, oh, you know, cry me a river. But yet they're the ones who do everything possible to keep them from coming out of their poverty. They're the ones, it's the same politicians who are saying, like Janet Yellen, that inflation is a good thing, and yet they're the ones who are creating it and putting people in a position of not being able to provide like they once could. So,
and, you know, they feed
disgusting.
Off this. They feed off the poor because, hey, we'll promise you more if you vote for us. So they keep their office by keeping people poor.
Absolutely. And there's reasons why people are poor. I mean, there are reasons. And that's what they count on. That's what they manipulate. That's how they control these that group of folks. And it's wrong. It's sad. And yet no one comes out and says that.
There are a few starting to see through now. Finally, you know, I've noticed some black individuals who have some common sense saying that the Democrats have been using the blacks for as puppets for political puppets for years, and starting to see that now. Not the masses. That's sad, but not the masses. But the poor have always been used manipulated to keep certain people in power. And it's not going to change. I don't see it changing in the future because right now we're going to give them another benefit for a month. Some legislation want $2,000 a month guaranteed each family. This can't go on forever and ever and people even be able to buy the food because it's going to be going. The money's worth nothing. The food supply chain we were talking about in a few minutes is drying up. People are going to reap things they've sown for a long time because of welfare-minded society. We're going to reap it, and it's going to hurt. It's called socialism, and it's going to hurt.
And again, we're not here to do gloom and doom. We're here to report on the stories, but to show how these stories fit in and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And how we've gotten to this point.
Well, if the house is on fire and you beating on the door trying to wake them up, is that doom and gloom? Or tell them, no, the house is on fire. Huh? We're not trying to do doom and gloom. I hate to tell you this. I mean, I'll just keep my mouth shut. Don't want to hurt your feelings. I'll let the house burn down around you. No, we're not saying that. We're saying that the house is on fire. This is not doom and gloom. This is what's going on. If we don't change it, we're going to put the fire out. We're going to suffer greatly because of this. And if we weren't doing that, Melody, we'd be very miserable and shirking our duty to people that we're trying to talk to right now. That would be against us because we didn't expose these evils. Showing somebody the house on fire should be an important job, and they should be grateful somebody's doing it.
Hey, we're heading into a break. I hear the music. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And what are we going to move on to, Butch?
Okay, I was just thinking maybe we should explain to him that Wendy couldn't be here today. Did you have to mention that?
Oh, I think I forgot. I apologize to Wendy, and I apologize to the listeners. Yes, Wendy Wilson is usually here in the first segment of the program, and she was just unable to join us, and she will be back next week for the first segment of the program. So we'll look forward. We'll have to have her give us a double report since she missed this week. But so if you were wondering, that's what happened. She'll be back next week. So thank you, Butch, for reminding me.
You're welcome. And she's a pleasure to listen to because she knows what she's talking about.
Absolutely.
She really does. Anyway, back to the news. And supermarkets, you probably saw this, maybe, I'm sure, are stockpiling inventory as food costs rise. Grocers are setting aside large amounts of frozen meat, sugar, and other items to protect profits ahead of anticipated price increases. And that, to me, that means they're buying it while it's cheaper so they can sell it when it's higher. That's what it means to me. So anyway, supermarkets are stocking up on everything from sugar to frozen meat before they get more pricey, girding for what some executives anticipate will be some of the highest price increases in recent memory. That doesn't sound good, Melody.
No,
some supermarkets said they are buying and storing supplies to keep the shelves full amid stronger demand. And I'll make this comment here. I went to the local, Family Dollar store, looking for some orange juice today. They were out of orange juice. They were out of lots of things in that part of the store. A lot of things were gone. And I stopped by a produce stand to try to get a few cucumbers and tomatoes, you know, fresh ones. She was almost empty on everything also. And one of the big things she told me was they can't get drivers to deliver the produce. Nobody wants to work driving a truck. But she also mentioned the prices are increasing unbelievably. So, folks, this is actually happening right here in Nettie, West Virginia, which is nowhere land. So it's affecting me. I know it's affecting everybody else. It really is. But back to the article. Grocery sales in the U.S. for the week ended June 19th rose about 15% from 2 years earlier, and increased 0.5% from a year earlier, according to Jeffries and Nelson IQ data. So it was 15% from 2 years earlier. That's 7% a year, Melody. Is that not right? Would you figure it right?
Sounds right.
15%. Stockpiling by food retailers is driving shortages of some staples. Grocery industry executives said it's challenging a U.S. food supply chain already squeezed by transportation costs, labor pressure, and ingredient constraints. The move is a reversal from last year when consumers hoarded groceries because of concerns about food availability, disrupting the food industry. Now, retailers themselves are stockpiling to keep costs down and protect margins. We're buying a lot of everything. Our inventories are up significantly over the same period last year, said David Smith, Chief Executive Officer of Associated Wholesale Grocers Incorporated. The nation's largest wholesaler for more than 3,000 grocery stores recently purchased 15% to 20% more inventory, mainly of packaged foods with longer shelf life, he said. So if the grocery stores themselves are preparing for shortages of inflation, maybe we should consider preparing for shortages of inflation. Maybe we should stock a few things up. Yeah, that's just
like
common sense
idea
to me. That's not a good idea, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
And, you know, we got some summer left. Before you know summer's going to be going, we're going to be in the winter. Could that make it even harder? I don't know, but I do know that farmers in California are actually bulldozing their their crops in the ground, especially the nut that they're famous for. Terry, my mind's gonna blank on that. Pecans. Anyway, they're bulldozing food, fruit, nuts, vegetables. They're bulldozing them. Those things are going to skyrocket because they're the biggest producer of these products in the United States. The biggest producer is California. Midwest farmers are also letting the crops go. They can't water them. Folks, this is a serious situation. And the world can feed us. Brazil can grow its own food. China is not feeding its own people. We could see things happen that we never dreamed possible in the good old U.S. of A. These are things you might want to consider. Stocking up on some food while you can. That's just, to me, is common sense. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
Nope.
I mean, I do believe in my spirit, I sense some rough times ahead for this country. This next article I thought was kind of, I never really thought about it, Subway getting left behind on the food market, but Subway grasped for a lifeline as Americans shun aging brand. Today, the company rolls out what has caused the biggest changes in more than a half a century. Skeptics say it won't be so simple. Subway restaurants has sported the Eat Fresh slogan for years, even as it peddled limp tomatoes and processed deli meats. Now with new bread, smashed avocado, and fresh mozzarella, the sandwich chain is trying to bring back the customers who defected to more modern eateries like Jimmy John's and Chipotle Mexican Grill Incorporated. And by the way, a major pizza chain ran out of cheese yesterday for a while. Pizza without cheese is pizza, is it? But anyway.
No, it isn't.
The closely held company on Tuesday announced that it caused the biggest changes ever in its more than a half century history. Dubbed the Eat Fresh Refresh, Subway is rolling out two new bread recipes, several on-trend premium ingredients, and a handful of new sandwiches, plus a live delivery service. It's hoping those changes will lure diners back to its stores after five straight years of declines. Skeptics off the brand say it won't be so simple. Subway is one of the most recognizable names in the restaurant industry, and it's more than 22,000. I didn't know this. More than 22,000 U.S. locations make it the largest by store count, dwarfing even McDonald's Corporation. But its massive size obscures a simple fact. Americans' tastes have changed. Subway has sat on its laurels for so long, it's kind of difficult to pull out this hole, said John Gordon, principal of the Pacific Management Consulting Group. The sales have fallen so much in the store. But they have 22,000 locations. I had no idea they were that big a corporation. But sales are dropping because they haven't kept up with, I guess, what people want. And that's a lot of stores, Melody. That's a lot of overhead. They got to do something to keep it going, don't they?
They do.
So changing times, whatever reason may be, businesses have to change with them. That's nothing new. Nothing wrong with that. It's free enterprise. You work in that direction. And the next article is oil tumbles after report confirms UAE plan to unilaterally open the taps. Now, I don't know. I just listened to your report. Oil dropped a couple bucks over the last couple weeks from this per barrel. That's not a huge drop, but it says we want a bigger market share to monetize as much as we can from our reserves, especially when we've spent billions developing them. That is the not so subtle quote, WSJ reports from a senior UAE oil executive, confirming the widening split between the Saudis and its longtime ally. Simply put, UAE strategy is to sell as much crude as possible before the demand dries up and raises growing concerns that the cartel is at risk. So I guess that UAE wants to sell all the oil and get what people want it. Even if it lowers the price, at least you're selling the oil. That can be good for the consumer to a point, but I don't know from beyond that. You have anything you want to add to that?
No, it seems like OPEC is losing its power. Perhaps because of the petrodollar, it's no longer being forced. You have oil being sold in other currencies now. The U.S. dollar is still the reserve currency. However, it's not as strong as it once was. So I don't know if that's part of it, that they're just breaking away and they want to do what they want to do now and they want their own market shares. And OPEC just doesn't seem to have that control anymore.
Well, you know, you have to wonder if they would split up and the oil prices, they would all just produce all they could. That would drop the price at the tank, no doubt about it. I just wouldn't mean, what would mean, though, for long term for everybody. You know, what would mean 2 or 3 years down the road if that happened? It's just hard to say. But the prices would have to drop, I would think, with everyone besides the producer.
Well, it just depends on how far. Nobody wants $20 oil.
No.
And then you have inflation, because inflation also impacts the price. So, again, it's, you know, they want to make as much money as they can. So... And they're also facing if the Green New Deal catches on with all this climate change meetings and the pulling away from these fuels, from these fossil fuels and so forth, you know, they've peaked then as far as what they can do. I mean, I guess it kind of brings a whole new meaning to peak oil.
That's a good way to put it. And, of course, if it could mean the undermining of the wealth of these nations also, could it not?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're all going to fight.
Yes.
And do what needs to be done for their own countries.
And broke countries become desperate sometimes. Sometimes that leads to war, does it not?
It can.
It sure can. It had before. So I don't know. I just don't know. Just questions, other questions. I don't have the answers to, but time will tell. This next article I thought was right on the money, but sad to see. Texas Attorney General Biden's administration is on the side of the cartels when it comes to the southern border. And I'll read this article and everybody can draw their own conclusions. President Biden's southern border crisis is growing increasingly grave by the week. A flood of migrants continues to pour into the country as the president earlier this year reversed many of his predecessor's immigration policies, including asylum seekers remain in Mexico instead of the U.S. and ending border wall construction. Speaking firsthand about the border crisis, because frankly, the mainstream media continues to ignore the issue, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton recently appeared on the Sarah Carter Show podcast to discuss immigration. Not only are we fighting illegal immigration and the cartels, Paxton said, we're fighting the Biden administration. Instead of lending a hand to the Lone Star State, they're on the side of the cartels, literally helping them to transport human beings into our state. As a result, the Attorney General admits he's afraid of his own federal government. Look, I've never been more afraid of our own government than I am right now. I've never been more afraid of law enforcement, Paxton told Carter. These are people that we expect to hold to a very high standard, whether it's the FBI or CIA, these national federal organizations have become very political. Every passing day, the Biden administration continues to mishandle the border crisis. The reversal in former President Trump's policies result in a massive surge in migrants, including unaccompanied minors, which has overwhelmed capacity at the immigration facilities. Paxton's only solution to combat the administration is through a barrage of lawsuits. Comment here on that, too. Lawsuits take a long time. And while they're fighting the lawsuits in court, these people keep coming across the border. So we are definitely in a fight with the Biden administration. We have 11 lawsuits right now. That's in the first 6 months of the administration, he said. They matter because we have to fight. We have to hold them accountable for violating federal law. We're not following the president's constitutional duty. You know, you have to wonder, this was no accident, obviously. This was planned. It had to be planned. All of a sudden, the borders are flooding. We got other states like Florida and South Dakota sending police and forces down to the borders to help enforce the borders. So there's something more behind this, Melody, than just a liberal idea of bringing people in the country. There's something behind the financial. And there's something behind it that wants to undermine the country's, or our country. I mean, they want to undermine our country's foundations, and they're doing a good job of it. Any comments on that?
No, I agree. I think there, you know, there's definitely a larger picture behind the scenes of what's going on. And it's, and again, that is basically being erased from all media now. I mean, you don't hear anybody talking about it. After she went on down to the border, you don't hear any questions anymore. I mean, it's like
this. She solved it. She didn't do anything.
No, it's weird. It really is kind of weird. It's just wiped out of the news. No one talks about it. Sure, Fox does, but other than them, and you know, it's I don't know. It's creepy.
Well, the border and the budget are ignored.
They're just ignored. Totally.
You know, this like there's nothing there. There's nothing worth talking about. We know that's all a lie, but that's the way it is. And then the major news medias are not talking about any of this. I mean, and the situation with, of course, with the apartments in Florida was so bad, so sad. But that's all been on the news. They don't talk about the border again, or the trillions being spent on the budget. There's nothing that's discussed beyond that. What happened in Florida, and again, it's a tragedy. It truly, truly is, and needs to be covered, but not the whole news hour. They're ignoring the stories that are undermining our country. They truly are.
You know, this weekend, they're just about having all the troops withdrawn from Afghanistan.
Yes.
And I guess this weekend, one of the media reporters brought up a question about it. This is not a quote, but Biden had mentioned something like, I only want to talk about happy things, man.
Yeah.
You know, just good things. This is a holiday. Yeah, I don't even think he said July 4th or our independence or anything like that. It was, and it's like there is no information about anything coming out. Nothing.
No. They're ignoring it, and they're doing a lot of the things on purpose. And now it's just constant bombardment of all kinds of situations, BLM and CRT and on it goes. It keeps us everybody off balance. It causes more confusion and frustration and anger. Now we have Martin Luther King statue being defaced. You know, and the hundred people did it. It's in California. Hundred people did it because it's a hate crime, and I understand that. But Melody, it's both ways, and it's starting to add up to a lot of stress, is it not?
It is. And I just want to say one thing about OPEC Franca from AVR, American Voice Radio. He says OPEC is infiltrated with Chinese money and demand. They are the biggest customer, and OPEC members will break with U.S. OPEC policy for enough Chinese money. And he's spot on. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And I think we're about ready to move on to something else, are we not?
Oh, we are. We got lots more to go. When the people don't get bored, we got lots more to talk about. And it's interesting news. It makes you, if you're an individual who likes to think on things and ponder things, it's going to make you think. I mean, we have, like, Fauci saying a couple days ago that we now have two Americas, vaxxed and unvaxxed. That's not dividing at all. That's not dividing people at all. But now California McDonald's franchises offering free vaccines, free food for getting shots. Isn't that exciting? McDonald's location in California offering coronavirus vaccines and a free item on the menu for anyone who takes them up on getting a shot. California McDonald's franchises teamed up with the state's Department of Public Health to make arrangements for shots to be done at restaurant locations. Melody, think about that. You can get your Big Mac and shot at the same time. The Big Mac's free. Wow. What if they want somebody throwing a fry with that? But anyway, those who get their shot at McDonald's location will receive a free item on the menu. The state's giving away millions of dollars. Now, there we go again. The state's giving away millions of dollars, man. Don't worry about it. It's not coming out of your pocket. It's state money. But
yeah.
The state's giving away millions of dollars to do things to get people to get shots into their arms. And we're doing our little part, Harris Liu, the local McDonald's owner, told the outlet. McDonald's said there are more than 70 locations in California participating in this vaccine incentive. So go to McDonald's and get your shot and a free burger, and it's all paid for by the state. So don't worry about it. It's not costing you a penny. I mean, this is absurd. This is insane. I mean, doesn't it make anybody stop and think, if these vaccines are so important and doing such a good job, why did they bribe people to take them? If they're so safe. And it works so well. Why must you pay people to take them? Just my thought on that.
You know, Butch, I don't know how true this story is, but this is out of Breitbart, and I think I've seen it other places too, so I'm not quite sure. But there are reports that Biden wants to send government officials door to door.
Yeah, that's right.
Across America.
Yes.
To pressure people to accept the vaccination, that they would be knocking on people's doors to pressure them.
That's true.
He says now we need to go community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door by door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people. And I guess he did say that during his speech about coronavirus. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki used a similar phrase Tuesday, in which she said coronavirus preventative measures will entail targeted community by community door-to-door outreach. CBS reporter, news reporter asked Psaki during the same briefing if the White House would reimpose restrictions as cases ticked up, or is it left up to the states? Excuse me, she said, we certainly support their decisions to implement. State and local communities will have to make evaluations. So there you have it. Two types of Americans.
Military personnel said they're going to quit if they try to force this on them. Yeah, this is This has grown into something really rather. Now we have Delta Ari out there. Now we have Lambda out there. Another virus strain. We'll maybe get that in a minute. I don't know. But anyway, it's out there. So, how many is left to get people frightened to take some more? And by the way, these new strains may or may not be covered by the vaccines you already have. So you may have to get a booster shot. Anyway. Any more comments along those lines, Melody?
There was a July poll that indicated that 57% of Americans believe they have less personal freedom today than they had before the coronavirus pandemic. 57, again, that's half the people. It's a little more than half.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And again, that's how split this nation is. And it's not going to change. Right. I don't know what's going to make it to where we become all Americans.
I don't either. A society without a common foundation can't stand very long. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can differ on certain things, but there has to be something common, some kind of moral basis that we all agree on that keeps us united. If you don't have that, you don't have unity at all.
Yeah.
So, but on the bright side, Jeff Bezos hits wealth record of $211 billion. On Pentagon move. Aren't you excited?
Mm-hmm.
I guess not. Jeff Bezos is leaving the rest of the world behind when it comes to wealth accumulation. The world's richest man reached a $211 billion net worth Tuesday after Amazon.com Incorporated shares rose 4.7% after the Pentagon announced it was canceling a cloud computing contract with rival Microsoft Corporation. The rally raised Bezos' fortune by $8.4 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. The last time anyone in the Bloomberg ranking near this amount was in January, when Tesla Inc., Elon Musk, briefly hit $210 billion. The two men spent the first part of the year trading the top spot as world's richest person. But Bezos has cemented his hold number one since mid-March as Amazon shares climbed almost 20% during that time. Soaring stock prices in recent months have boosted the fortunes of a group of tech titans, including Musk. He remains in second place behind Bezos with $180.8 billion in net worth, even as Tesla shares fell to Tuesday. French luxury goods magnate Bernard Arnault is third, $168.5 billion. Wow. How do you grasp that kind of money in an individual's hands? And if he earned it, I had no problem with it. I just had a question. How do folks like you and I even come close to understanding that?
It's we don't.
Impossible. No,
it's
we
impossible.
Don't.
It's impossible.
And $211 billion. Hmm.
But, you know, then again, 20 years ago, it'd be the same as saying, can you imagine if somebody had 100 million, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah, really.
That's
yep.
That is the, you know, lack of, you know, the. That's how much less the dollar means anymore. You know, he
Isn't
might have
truth?
That many billions of dollars, but, you know, without inflation, it's. It wasn't that long ago where we, you know, people couldn't imagine $1 million. Just think about how it was even in the 50s. If you had $1 million.
Well, the show back
then. Baby,
the
you
the 50s,
were wealthy.
The show in the 50s entitled about who's the next millionaire or something like that. It was a show about somebody give away $1 million to certain people. And that was so huge back then in the 50s. The next millionaire. Well, compared to $211 billion, $1 million is kind of paltry, is it not?
Well, back then, it was still big money. That was the point
yes,
I was trying to make. But, yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
But can you I would think that you would almost have to go insane if you had that much money.
I never tried it, so I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, that's why all these billionaires are going to trying to get to Mars and in because they don't have anything else to do. They're not challenged anymore. So they have to do something to, You know, and I personally believe that's, you know, why they're all trying to see who goes. It's a little game to them. It's a little, you know, it's like to us playing, you know, blackjack at the casino.
Yeah.
they're all trying to get to Mars just for fun.
Oh, my.
That's their fun.
That's way beyond our comprehension. And this next article is a different topic, but I've seen this before as far as this type of situation, but this is just happening today. Crime is basically legal in San Francisco. And folks, this is for real story. Furious shopper post video of horde of shoplifters fleeing Neiman Marcus, totally unchecked with armfuls of designer bags. Now, this is really...
When I saw those videos...
Oh, that's sad. Mm-hmm. It's a breakdown of society. God help us, our society's crumbling around us. It's literally crumbling around us. A video captures a moment at least 10 people stole loads of designer bags from Neiman Marcus in San Francisco and fled undeterred. Police are still investigating the incident, and the suspects were already gone by the time they arrived. Witnesses told KTVU that the store was about to close when the suspects came in and mismatched display cases before nabbing the goods and leaving. This comes as Target made the decision last week to close the San Francisco stores at 6 p.m., 4 hours earlier than elsewhere, and Walgreens shuttered 17 stores in the area because of shoplifting concerns. Shoplifting cases have been on the rise in San Francisco for years. The problem arose after charges of property theft less than $950 in value was downgraded from a felony to a misdemeanor in 2014. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible said, this is a paraphrase, because crime is not punished speedily, it's in the hearts of man to commit more crime. That's a paraphrase. So that's where we are. But that is a sign, and I mean, God help us, a sign of a decaying society. But going on from there, you may saw these figures also. Excuse me. But in New York, this year, they saw 150 additional homicides and more than 750 additional shootings in 2020, which is a 45% increase of homicides and 97% increase in shootings in New York. Chicago saw 274 more homicides and 1,435 more additional shootings in 2020, a 55% spike. But Chicago, New York, they're not allowed to have guns. I don't know how that happens. But anyway... L.A. saw homicides jump approximately 38% or nearly 100, while shooters spiked almost 40%. D.C. closed 2020 with homicides up a third for the year, this time by almost 20%. Killings in Philadelphia, where year-end homicides have risen every year since 2016, were just one body shy of 500, a 40% increase. Louisville saw homicides jump by more than 70%. Louisville, Kentucky, Melody, 70% increase in homicides. Cincinnati's homicides spiked more than 28%. In Detroit, shootings and homicides rose up for a second straight year, soaring 53% and 19% respectively. Shootings in Providence, Rhode Island doubled. Houston hit 413 murders. A 42% increase. Indianapolis saw a 40% jump in murders. Denver saw a 50% jump. And Fresno, California saw a 64% increase. Wow. You don't think that one day it's going to affect finances in a town also? And businesses, because businesses won't stay open if they're not safe. Walgreens already closing stores in that area. Target's closing earlier. Why would they stay there if they can't be safe?
Yeah, and then you hear from the Democrats that these neighborhoods, you know, don't have the same groceries stores that other areas have, and well, you know, because they just let things run wild.
Exactly.
So why would you want to open up a business? And I'm not saying all of those areas are bad. But a lot of the areas that they're talking about are. So why would you want to open up a business if you're just going to get robbed?
That means less jobs, of course. But to me,
yes.
It's even deeper than that. It shows a society that's dying.
Absolutely.
You know, it just, that really breaks my heart. That's why it really bothers me. It's just, I mean, when you see homicides increase 64% in a town, you know, and Denver 50%, when you see that many more people being slaughtered and killed, and just shootings going on, they're increasing that much. That is something that's, of course, take away the guns, that'll stop it. I mean, you know, Chicago, New York, you can't have a gun, but the shooting's still going on. Now, explain that to me. Folks, this is what America has become. You better plan for the future. Start stocking some food. Get a water filter. Call Milton and get something worthwhile that you can keep in your home where you can keep it safe. But for goodness sake, folks, do something. Don't just sit back and hope for better tomorrow, because it's not going to change. I like to say it's going to, but it isn't going to change. America has been undermined to the point the foundation has been destroyed so badly that it's not going to rebuild. And the Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's where we are in America today. Anything you want to say, Melody, before we're about out of time?
Nope, we're just about out of time.
It's been a good broadcast, and I hate to bring this kind of news forward, folks, but we're doing it because we love you. If we didn't care, we'd go off the air and not worry about it. But we do care. We truly do care, because your future depends on what you do, and so does your children's future depend on what you do. You have to make some decisions, but you don't have a lot of time left to do it.
Alrighty, we're out of time. Thank you. Thank you, Butch. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.